This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is Tuesday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. Hello, Sonny.
Hello, Brian.
So happy to have you back here. I want to start with last week's shocking revelation that you had dated Carl Anthony Payne, a.k.a. Cockroach, from The Cosby Show, and that you had never mentioned it to Manny. We need to hear what was his reaction to this news.
You know, Manny and I are quite similar in that we don't really watch sitcoms, didn't watch them as children. We're book readers. We're both nerds, as you know. And so it took him a while to realize who he was. And then he was like, I feel like I heard that. Okay.
He was okay.
He could care less.
Right, he was just not consumed with jealousy.
No, he was like, I was like, you know, he was a big star.
Sure.
And he was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I found out like my wife dated Zach Morris or something, I'd be or A.C. Slater.
I have a very confident, confident man who...
he knows what he has and he knows... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well,
it did nothing. There were no sparks that flew. No arguments ensued.
No, I'm not disappointed,
but I'm a little disappointed.
It was
like a dud.
Yeah. All right. Well... That's fine. And have you heard from Cockroach or?
I haven't heard from Anthony.
Yes,
his name is Carl Anthony. So
I
always called him Anthony.
Yeah.
I have not heard from him.
Okay.
But I'm also not on social media the way I used to be.
All right, so we'll see. I mean, they're I could see a reunion happening at some point, which would be very exciting. Today we had on the show, we had Ariana DeBose, who is phenomenal and such
a
star.
I love her.
I know you do. And one of the things you said before is as another Afro-Latina, she helps you feel less alone in the industry.
I just feel really seen with her. You know, we became buddies, actually, after her first appearance on our show. And I went to her one-woman show, which I'm so sorry if people didn't see that, because it was just phenomenal. She has... the range, she has the pipe, she has the acting ability. I mean, real triple threat, dancing. And I'm not one that likes these like one person shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, or musicals really. And I was enthralled. And she's just really sparkly to me.
She's like, a star,
she's
and
a
just radiates
star.
It all the time. And
yes.
I think I'm excited for more and more people. I mean, she's not known, but the more and more people
see her.
She's an
Academy Award-winning Afro-Latina. And I don't know. There's something about her. You know, she was on our show today, and I watched Wish, the movie. She has cornrows. My daughter just asked me yesterday. She's like, would you mind if I, went to this braiding place and got braids done? She's only asking my permission because I would be paying for it, right? Because she just, if she could do it herself, she would just do it. And, of course, I was like, I'll pay for it. And Ariana walks out like that. And so I have an Afro-Latina daughter. And it's just like, I'm thinking she's got braids. My kid's getting braids. I feel seen. I think a lot of other kids will feel seen because for some reason to this day, a multiracial identity is somewhat incomprehensible to a segment of our population. I mean, I was speaking to Nathan, our social media person, and he still gets the silly tweets and things that say, oh, is Sonny Puerto Rican today?
Mm-hmm.
Because I pronounced something in my native language, because Spanish is my first language.
Yeah.
And I have people say, oh, is Sonny Black today? Well, I'm Puerto Rican and Black and part Jewish every freaking day. I've had these discussions with her as well.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure.
Like, we are multiracial every single day. And it's such a blessing because you have so many cultures that you can draw upon for your life identity and your life experience. And for people to try to make you choose one or the other is really...
it's unfair. And
it feels very uncomfortable and it makes you upset. And just to see her winning, it means everything to me. I mean, I'm winning vicariously through her.
The last time she was here, she was a star of a big film, and now she returns an Oscar winner and a Disney heroine. I mean, that's phenomenal.
She's the real deal.
And, you know, she told a really great story today about getting backlash after she expressed her ambition to leave Hamilton, part of the ensemble of Hamilton, and try to become a feature person, become a star. Has this ever happened to you? How do you feel about female ambition and the way it's perceived?
You know, ambition is not a dirty word.
Yeah.
I think it's just another word for dreams, you know, and there are so many dream killers out there and haters. And I certainly have had this experience because, as you know, people say, oh, Sunny always says it. Well, being a federal prosecutor was a really important job for me because I was sort of the safety net for people that were illegally charged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember when Meek Mill was on,
sure.
And he was someone who had a forced confession beaten out of him. I saw his mugshot and I said, what happened to your face? And he said, you're the first person that's ever asked me that. So I would never try a confession case with a mugshot that had somebody's eyes beaten out, right? Because that means that was a forced confession. So that was a very important part of my life. But I also had a journalism degree and I wanted to write and I wanted to be a broadcast journalism. And I had so many dream killers, ambition killers in my life that it took me years to do it. And when I finally made the jump, I'll never forget, I was on Court TV and Jack, who became a friend of mine, said, this is the first time we've seen this lady on air, but it won't be the last. And that he was the first person that saw that I could do it. But I can't begin to tell you how many times in my life, including when I went to audition for this show when I was on CNN,
mm-hmm.
that I won't name the person, but someone said, you'll never get that job. And it's so hurtful when you're just trying to branch out and you're trying to be bigger and you're trying to make your dream bigger and make it come true, that someone says, no, you're not good enough or that's not for you.
But you're able to turn that into fuel to a certain extent.
I turn it into fuel.
Yeah.
But I will still say it is hurtful. It was hurtful when I wrote my first fiction book. No one's going to read that. You know, so that was always an ambition of mine. I wanted to be a New York Times bestselling author. That's what I wanted. And so I poured my heart into that book and it happened. And so when people say, you know, oh, well, she lacks humility. I hear that a lot as well. Oh, you know, she thinks she's smarter than everybody else. No, I just dream big.
Mm-hmm.
I just dream big and that's it. And I put in the work.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of jealousy, I think, that comes with.
I don't know what it is because, you know, I mean, I came from the projects. Why would you be jealous of someone like me? I didn't have food and heat and hot water. Like, I'm not a person that comes from means. So I never quite understand being jealous of hard work.
I think there are people who genuinely don't have those ambitions, and that's fine. And I don't think everyone has to have that. There are people that are comfortable and happy with where they are.
Yeah.
And then I also think there are people that do have those ambitions but are too afraid to take the chances.
Yes.
And I think that's where the jealousy
comes
from.
Because it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
Okay? It is really scary to leave your comfy legal job and think that you can be a legal correspondent when no one on any television program looks like you. It's really scary. Like, I felt like throwing up the first day that I was on air.
I'm sure.
that's how you feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting and it is unfair. And I think, and I do think it's unfairly expressed towards women more so.
Yes.
But it was great to hear her talk about that. Because I think
I loved that.
These are the conversations our show has that other places don't.
They
and it's
do
important.
Not have them. And she was so vulnerable in that moment, I thought. And I thought it was very brave to say, you know, I'm ambitious.
Well, speaking of bravery and conversations other shows don't have, we talked about RFK Jr. today.
Oh.
Taking, being seen barefoot on a plane, which is a unique kind of bravery. Tell me your take on this.
Some people may not know, I'm a bit of a germaphobe.
I'm aware.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. A lot of like Lysol wipes and Clorox wipes in my life.
Yeah.
And I have seen that once before.
You've seen the barefoot man on a plane?
I saw a barefoot woman.
Ooh.
And she walked into the bathroom and I whipped out my camera because I didn't think anyone would believe that I had seen this disgusting, despicable act of lack of hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically started I took several pictures of her feet.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the flight attendant who was looking back at me and like nodding yes, that it was very disgusting. And then the woman caught me.
Oh.
And then I just.
Did she confront you?
She didn't confront me, but I just like put the phone down.
Yeah, okay.
But this is not the first time that I have seen it. And again, there's a lot of stuff I think that's going on in that on that bathroom floor. And I just, someone that would do that is not fit to
that
run our country.
Disqualifies
him to run our country.
All right. So we have multiple times indicted versus barefoot on a plane. Is
it's
there
the same.
Same thing. Okay. Well, there we
same.
Go.
Same.
Wow.
Disgusting.
All right. I think that's a new level of disqualification, but I'm okay. I haven't seen that amendment, but I'm going to take your word for it.
It's somewhere in the 14th Amendment.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
I think I read it.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We didn't talk about this on the show today, but the Supreme Court adopted an ethics code, which is something you've been talking about for a long time.
Finally.
And there have been reports, as we all know, of undisclosed gifts and travel.
Can we say Clarence Thomas?
You can say whatever you like. Is this enough? Is it too late after the fact? Does it need to be something constitutional or Congress passing? What do you think?
The Supreme Court has been sort of the most untouchable court in the land forever, right?
Yeah.
It had no code of ethics. They answer to no one. Mm-hmm. Even the chief judge really doesn't have the power. It's like corralling cats. I'm a member of the Supreme Court bar. I've sat in those courtrooms. I've written amicus briefs. It's sort of like the Wild West of the law because no one is above them. And so I think this is a step in the right direction. They needed that ethics code because if you are the person or people charged with with making law, really, or interpreting law. They would say they just interpret the law, but they make new law. We know that now.
Mm-hmm. We've seen that.
We've seen that. I think you have to be above reproach. And I know when you're a prosecutor at the Department of Justice, there are certain gifts you can't receive. Here, you can't receive.
When you're host of The
View. When you're host of The View, I think it's, what, a $70 cap
something
on a gift?
Like that. That's
I think it's 25. It used to be $25 at the mm-hmm. Justice Department. So I'm happy about it. But I will say this: what I didn't see is what are the penalties when they break the ethics code?
Right.
So I'm wondering if it's a nice shiny code with no teeth.
Is this them getting ahead of it, or is it? You think they're just trying to cover themselves before Congress makes a move?
I'm hopeful that it's meaningful and that yeah. it's real and that they are holding themselves accountable so that they can restore faith in the Supreme Court, because statistically people don't trust the Supreme Court in vast numbers in the way that they used to.
Yeah. And it's sad.
That's a real stat.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that the engine or the intention behind this was so that they could regain the trust of the American people. But without teeth, without penalties, that's not going to fly.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to stay
tuned.
That's
just Sonny's hot take.
Sonny's hot take. From Hostin, we have a problem. All right. Now, let's talk about something very important here. Yesterday,
yes.
I went on Twitter, X, whatever you call it.
X, I don't know.
Yeah, I know you're not there right now,
I'm not
really.
There because it's a hellscape because of Elon Musk.
It's a hellscape that I have to keep an eye on. But I decided to poll some of our loyal viewers on for questions, ideas from them on things to talk to you about, and all the hosts.
Brian, you didn't.
I did, and if anyone who's listening would like to submit questions, please find me on at Brian Tetta. And here's a few that stuck out to me and I wanted to get your opinion on.
Okay.
For starters, you've been very vocal about your feelings about the Republican Party in general.
Okay.
Is there any acceptable Republican running or not running for president who Sonny thinks could help bring the country together?
You know, at one point, and I preface this by saying I have, as you know, a lot of Republicans in my family.
Yeah.
And so politics are like off the table on Thanksgiving because of the arguments that have ensued. I have yet to meet someone that I trust in what they are saying, because I find sometimes, at least when they're speaking to me, they're duplicitous because they want me to believe them. So like mm-hmm. I actually thought Adam Kinzinger mm-hmm. appears to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start talking to some other people and they're like, no. And then I thought, well, Liz Cheney is really stepping up. And then you learn that she voted like 98-99% of the time with Trump. Mm-hmm. So for me, the principles that the party stands for don't align with my fundamental principles, which is equality and justice for all, inclusiveness, government should be taken care of. Social Security shouldn't be taken away. You know, the platform just doesn't jive.
So we're going to say no.
My values.
So we're going to say no. I mean, given that you've publicly called for the abolishment of the party, I think I'm not surprised
just,
by this.
The value, I don't see that they share the values of this great country that they should. I don't think they hold those values. Now, I know I'm going to get so much hate mail for that.
Well, you won't read it, so it'll be fine.
That's how I feel.
I'll read it and let you know. All right. Well, moving to a different kind of topic. This is a personal question.
Okay.
When did you know that Manny was marriage material?
The same day I met him.
Really?
Yes. I actually, and my
voice
friend,
got very high there.
My friend told me this. She told this story at our wedding. I met Manny in church, or rather I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I was training for a marathon and I wasn't really dressed appropriately and he had this suit on. And I see this really good looking guy walk in with his friend, and then I stalked him and followed him to a bagel shop, which was across the street from St. Philip and James Church in Baltimore. And I just sort of struck up a conversation because, you know me, I could talk to a wall. And he was very much a wall because he was dating somebody. And he's a very loyal person. But I got out of him that he spoke Spanish. I got out of him that he was also multiracial, that he was well-traveled. He was born in Spain and visited Spain. I got out of him that he was in medical school and about to start a residency in orthopedic surgery. I knew, I could tell he was from New York. He had moved to New York. I could tell he was brilliant. And we talked for about half an hour and I left and I called my friend Lisa and I said, I just met my husband. He just doesn't know it yet.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
He didn't know it though.
So I wouldn't be doing my job.
It wasn't returned.
I think there's some new information here. I didn't realize that when you met Manny in church, he had a girlfriend already. So
yes, he did.
How long did that relationship last?
You know, we were friends until he broke up with her.
Okay.
And for years after. She was a fellow medical student, and she believed that we dated while they were together. And that is not true because Manny is not that guy, and right. I'm not that girl.
Oh, wow.
And so we were friends, and I can say I kept my eye on him, and I can say that I put on a little extra lip gloss every time I knew I would see him somewhere.
Sure.
But we did not go out because he had a girlfriend. And then you had an ambition. I had an ambition, and when he realized he had an ambition, he broke it off with her.
Okay, so everything was above board.
I probably was the reason for the breakup, but nothing happened before the breakup.
How long are we talking?
About a year.
About a year. Okay, yeah. So it took you a year to break him down.
Yeah, it took about a year. He's tough,
right.
That one. And he's very, very loyal.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, this is interesting. I did not know this.
Yeah,
this
but I knew. And it's sad because I hear people now that have these checklists.
Mm-hmm.
I was, getting older. I was approaching 30. I had a checklist in my mind. I wanted someone that was similarly a professional because I worked so many hours and I was so ambitious. I knew I had dated like a lot of musicians and like people that don't work like the 12, 15, 16 hours that I was working. And those relationships never worked out because they didn't understand what I did. They didn't understand my passion. They didn't understand my work ethic. And so I needed someone that had all those qualities that Manny had. So the minute people say, oh, you just wanted to marry a doctor. The minute I heard doctor and surgery and a 5-year residency was coming, I thought this guy can hang with me because I'm going to be at the Justice Department for hours and hours and hours and he's not going to be upset about it. So that was very attractive to me. And it's attractive now because sometimes we don't see each other until 10 o'clock at night because he has surgeries all day and I'm writing books and doing The View and doing Nightline and all these kinds of things.
Right. So you guys both have your own personal.
It works really well.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. All right, this might be my favorite question. If you were being charged for murder, and which I can't imagine, well, maybe.
It's possible.
Which View co-host would you want to defend you in court other than yourself, of course?
Joy.
Joy. Interesting. Tell me why.
She's really smart.
She is very smart.
And she's really passionate.
She is very passionate.
And if she had a legal degree, she would be a scorched earth type attorney. And that's what you need to win a murder case.
Okay. You wouldn't be worried that, like, in closing arguments, she'd just divert to Trump or something?
No.
No? Okay.
No. No. And even if she did, she's so likable. She's funny.
She is funny.
And again, she's scorched earth in her beliefs.
Yes.
And so that's who you want in your corner. Like, I will take a Joy Behar in my corner any day.
Wow. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And then my final question from the viewers, which former co-host that you've had do you miss the most at the table?
Gosh, I've had a lot of them.
You've had a lot of calls, yeah.
I was reminded that this is my 7th season.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Raven.
Oh, I miss Raven too.
Just because she was like, you know, you hear all these things about child stars being like crazy, and she was not.
No.
Like, she was very grounded for someone that had been in the business so long. Like, I remember watching her on The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And then to be able to work with her and know that she was just a real, genuine person. She still owes me a painting. She's a wonderful artist. I even offered to buy one, and she hasn't painted anything for me. But she's just very authentic. She'll try anything. I remember she would do that thing with her hair, like all different colors of hair. And
oh, the Raven Wheel.
The Raven
Not
Wheel
my best idea.
with the hair. I remember that. She's a great singer. I went to karaoke party with her. Didn't know she sang. I am not a good singer, as you now know, Brian. And she had like the stars from Hamilton were getting up there. And Manny and I were sitting there like, we cannot possibly get up there and sing anything. Raven just had something kind of special.
Yeah, it's always a treat when she comes back and visits, too.
Yeah, it's something kind of special, and it's very authentic. She actually even came, I'm going to be honest, I never saw anything Raven was in other than The Cosby Show, mm-hmm. so I didn't know her whole Disney universe
sure.
thing. And I invited her to my house for an Easter egg hunt. And I had a lot of kids there.
Oh, they must have gone crazy.
And they went berserk, including my own children, and I was so horrified. She handled it with such grace.
Just her whole life has been like that.
She became almost part of the party, and mm-hmm. she was like walking around and handing out candy.
Oh.
And I will always be thankful to her for that, because my kids got to say Raven Simone was at their house, so that was like gave them a lot of street cred, and she just handled it with such grace. And I had to explain to her that I had never seen anything she was in.
More, she probably appreciates that. She always thinks it's weird that I've seen everything she's in.
I haven't seen anything.
More than once, I've been sitting on the couch with my kids watching her show, and she's called my cell phone, and they're still not impressed. But for me, I'm like, this is like if I was watching the Brady Bunch and Marsha Brady called.
I know.
Like, it's amazing.
I've never seen any of her things, but I remember her from The Cosby Show, and she's awesome.
Yeah, no, she is. All right, well, this was fun. Thank you for joining me today, Sonny.
You bet.
Tomorrow, I'll be back with joy. I'm bracing myself. And
better say that I'm the one that she would want to represent her.
I think so, yeah.
She better say that, man.
No, I think so.
I put people in jail for a living.
I think we have to remove you from the question because it's not really fair. You're a lawyer. I mean, of course we call you first. All right. Well, listen, thank you all for listening. If you get a moment, please rate and review our podcast. People really are doing that, and it's fun to read and see what they like and what they don't like. And thank you for being here. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.